You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Save big money when you start your next project today at Menards. Convert your current recessed lighting with energy-saving LED downlights from Fight Electric. They're bright and install easily in just minutes. They also go from regular lighting to nightlight mode with just a simple flip of a switch. Save big on all Fight lighting products now at Menards. Shop our lighting options today in-store and on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
The first race weekend of F2 and F3 did not disappoint, with Crazy Overtakes a double win and rookies taking the podium. And this is what the rest of the season will be. I, for one, cannot wait. Welcome back to Formula Talk. My name is Sophia, and joining me today, we have once again the lovely Tom Downey. Hello.
Hello. I don't know about lovely, but hello. How are you?
It works with it because of the double Y at the end. Sorry. Today's just been an absolute menace of a day.
So nice. Well, yeah, well, the day's been most like the racing last weekend, but yes,
chaotic. 100%. Yes. For this episode, we will be reviewing the round one of races that took place in Bahrain for Formula 2 and Formula 3, and previewing the round two F2 race that's taking place in Jeddah this weekend. And if you're wondering, what about F1 Academy, since that is also starting in Jeddah this weekend, you can listen to our F1 Academy driver lineup and Jeddah preview episode in our Formula Talk catalog, which is hopefully going to be released shortly before the race weekend starts. We decided to do a solo episode because there was so much to uncover, discuss. It's myself hosting it and speaking about it. I discuss about my predictions, how I think the season's going to shape up, and who are the drivers and who are backed by Formula One. But before we get to this episode, we gotta thank our sponsor, which is Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for all your betting needs. Get the latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. Bet Online continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games, available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on all the action. Remember to use our promo code BELIEVE, that is BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, where the game starts. And also, make sure you're following us on social channels at Grid Talk UK to stay up to date with this show. We are the sister channel of Grid Talk, so social media, we kind of share the same platform. However, for season 2 of Formula Talk, we have moved to our own YouTube channel called Formula Talk, and you can find all of this season's episodes pre-recorded, posted to that channel. If you wanted to listen to our old episodes, you can find us at Grid Talk on YouTube. Well, round one. Let's start off with Formula 3. Mix of rookies and veterans taking the top spot. In qualifying, we saw Dino Boganovic in the Prema take pole and rookie Lawrence Van Hopten in the ART on the reverse pole for Friday's race. If you're not aware or aware, they've decided to move everything a day early due to Ramadan taking place this coming weekend. So instead of the Friday, Saturday, Sunday you're used to, it was actually the Thursday, Friday, Saturday format. I, for one, was not a fan of it because trying to balance work and actually watching these races and going to the press conferences and making the articles, it was absolutely killer. What about you, Tom? Were you able to balance it all?
Not really, no. If I'm honest, it completely threw me. And, you know, I understand obviously why they moved it, but the Thursday especially, I was out on a client side all day, about 2 hours away from home each way, and I was there from about 9:30 in the morning until about 4:00 in the afternoon. And I don't think it would have looked good if I'd have said, sorry, do you mind if we stop this meeting so I can watch F3 and F2 qualify? And, you know, as big as petrol heads as, you know, these clients, I don't think they'd have appreciated that. So no, and then I was busy on Saturday morning, so I was basically playing catch up for all the sessions this weekend. But it's a small price to pay for the entertainment we have.
Yeah, I mean, we have it again this weekend. I mean, I hope my boss is not listening, but I did block out my calendars when the race was on to make sure I can actually watch it with the audio on, to make sure I can listen and watch it all. I had my screen, I had a second screen, I had my TV, and then I even had another laptop of everything between work and also watching and being involved in F1 weekend. I'm happy that's not the case for the rest of the season, for the first two rounds, which is the crucial rounds to start the season off and get the needed points. Was a bit tricky, but looking to Friday, which was the sprint race, we had the youngest driver on the grid, the Red Bull rookie driver Arvid Lindblad in the Prema, was able to take the top spot, followed by pole sitter Lawrence Van Helden in P2, and then one of the favorites to win the season, Leonardo Fuoroli in the Trident. Now, he was one of my kind of preseason hot takes to probably win the championship. But, like, the overtakes Arvid did on the main straight was so good. Like, the highlights, if you can watch it on YouTube, definitely watch the F3 highlights of the weekend, both in the sprint and the feature. It was an ART original front row lockout between Van Hoffen and Nikola Tozlov. Some really good battles going back and forth with there, but Arvid was able just to sneak his way through to take that top spot. All but one driver was able to finish the race, which, for Formula 3, for the first round, and like half of the grid is rookies, I think that is a really good like accomplishment. What do you think, Tom?
Oh, that's absolutely a fantastic result. You know, it's the F3, I was going to say grid field, or whatever you want to call it, this year, it is genuinely pretty competitive. You know, some big names in there from last year, you know, some names who, you know, that we talked about a lot last year, who I'd have expected to be a bit higher up the grids. You know, there's the likes of Wally Guthrie, I maybe expected a bit better than P10. But, you know, and also, you know, Beganovic down there in P13, you know, obviously Montoya down there in 17th. You'd have expected better from people like that. And it just, you know, like I said, I didn't see it live, but I've watched the highlights on YouTube, and These rookies, they, you know, these young guns, because, you know, let's not forget, these are, you know, young lads effectively driving these cars. They're really giving it some out on the circuit. You know, they're showing no fear and showing no mercy, which is, you know, sometimes in F3, you know, certainly I've been quite critical, you know, where they've perhaps been a little bit too gung-ho, should we say, which, you know, they've been a bit sort of like, you know, a bit sort of like brazen going into corners. But no, I was really impressed and really entertained. And bear in mind, obviously, I watched the highlights, seeing as that's people sort of stitching all the best bits together, you know, so there may have been like a slight lull in the middle. But it was genuinely exciting to watch.
Yeah, I mean, you could pan out to like the first corner and then even like, I believe, like turn four or whatever, and you could literally see both battles going on at the same time in the same camera view, which was absolutely amazing. Looking at the feature race, we had Luke Browning was able to take the win, with Christian Mansell in P2 and rookie Tim Trammett rounding out the podium. It wasn't the day for the pole sitter Dino, as mentioned as well. He just suffered damage at the start and thus dropping down and finishing outside the points, but he just did not have the best weekend at all. And again, he is also one of the other drivers who was posed for one of the best contenders for the season, and he's not started off one of the best weekend. Looking at the standings, Luke Browning currently leads with 25 points, followed by Tim Trammett. He finished, obviously, the podium for the feature race, but he also finished P5 in the sprint, so double points for his championship contention. He has 21 points, followed by Christian Mansell, currently standing in third with 18. The next race in Formula 3 is back in Melbourne, and that's another really good one. I'm excited because it's so chaotic. It's a really fast track. These guys don't know the track that well. Obviously, we have some returning back who raced last year on the same circuit, but you just never know how it goes. But normally, we normally give our predictions for the preview of the episode. I was able to do my predictions for Bahrain. However, somebody got a little bit busy and decided not to put his predictions in. So I believe I've just won the round by default to begin with. Can you agree?
Well, well done for celebrating a default victory. But yeah, I just completely, I'll be honest, I just completely ran out of time last week. And then also, was it being the whole Thursday to Saturday thing? I thought I had an extra day.
Well, make sure you have it for F2 Jetta for this weekend.
I think I might just stick it on my calendar, to be honest. So,
yeah, make sure you do. I mean, my predictions were not really the best. I said Fornaroli was going to take pole, which he actually was leading qualifying up until the last push lap. So, close. And then both of the race, so wrong. I said Sebastian Montoya, P1. Dino Bogdanovic, P2. Luke Browning, P3 in the sprint. Fornaroli was going to convert the pole. Nope. Gabriel Mini, P2. Nope. Oliver Goethe, P3 in the future. No. But I did get Browning podium and Fornaroli. So even though it was not for the right races, but or position, it's even because it was kind of...
You can't claim that one.
I still claim it because at least I put something in. You did it. That's the be all. I won this round.
Yeah, but no, because you didn't get any predictions right.
But at least, I mean, I got two podium rights, just not in wrong positions and wrong races. At least I still got names. Out of 33 people on the grid, I still think that's a good, or 30, I still think that's a good. For the first race of the season, nobody knows.
What do we think? Let us know in the comments.
Yeah. Message us on Instagram or comment on YouTube. Who's right in this conversation?
And remember, there's a right and wrong answer. Just remember, chat.
That I am. I'm right. Moving on to Formula 2. Wow. Very good race as well. Pole. Originally, it was meant to be an Invicta front row lockout with Kushmany taking pole for the first time ever. However, he was later disqualified for a violation of the regulations surrounding his under tray not meeting the steward standards. He then dropped to, I believe, like P18 or something like that. It was his second fastest lap, but I think that was like his first ever push lap during qualifying. So obviously the track was very developed by then. However, this meant that it was the F3 2023 champion and rookie this season, Gabriel Bortoleto, was able to take the pole for the Saturday feature race, and Jack Crawford was on the reverse pole for the sprint. Now, originally it was meant to be Taylor Barnard. Now, his was amazing because he did his last push lap to take originally P10 on old three-lap tires, which normally on soft three-lap tires, no other driver was able to do a second push lap on soft tires in any of the qualifying. And he was able to do it at the last possible second. He's one of the last drivers across the line when time ran out and was able to move from, I think it was like P18 to P10. So really great to see. But unfortunately, because of Mining's disqualification, he moved up to P9 in the classification. Well, Jack Crawford was starting on pole for the sprint race. It was my favorite driver on the grid and a good contender for the championship. Sam Maloney was able to take the win starting from P8. Joining him on the podium was rookie driver in the Campos Red Bull Junior Pepe Marti as well for P3. Jack Crawford was able to secure at least P2. As mentioned at the start of the episode, it was a double weekend win. In the feature race, Zane Maloney was able to take the win from third place on the grid. Pepe Marti also had a great start to his campaign for the season, finished second in the feature, and Paul Aaron in the high tech rounding out the podium. What a great start. I mean, there were some really good battles. I always see really good battles, really good overtakes. But with Formula 2, the seats available in F1, if you really think about it for next season. So like anything is potentially possible. And a lot of these Formula 1 drivers, their contracts are ending this year. So who knows? Maybe they might decide bring in some rookies for the 2025-2026 season. And Zane leaving Red Bull to now move to Sauber, which is similar to obviously Teo Pourchaire won the feature in Bahrain and then won the championship. Could that prelude to what's going to happen to Zane to win the championship? I mean, I've always been very hyped for Zane, given the small island support and everything from Bermuda, not Barbados or Bahamas, like Tom likes to say.
Oh, come on. Give me a break.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, there's difference. Very geographically, very different from all three of them, the countries.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm excited to see how this season goes. But yeah, a double win. Not many drivers have done that. I believe there's only 7 drivers ever to actually do a double win. The most recent being Ollie Bearman in Baku last year. There was a handful of DNFs, notably Isaac Hadj, who originally started P2, and Enzo Fittipaldi pretty much got hit on the front row. Gabriel Bartolotto actually spun Isaac Hadj around at the first corner, which led Fittipaldi to go nowhere but into Isaac Hadj, thus ending both of their races. Another key element to mention is Kimi Antonelli. We were expecting a lot from him, and there's something wrong with the Prema, because both of those Premas did not do well in qualifying and did not do well in the sprint or the feature. Kimi was able, he started P17 in the feature and was able to score the last possible points, finishing P10. But he's meant to be, obviously, the rumored Mercedes seat for 2025, sorry. I'm quite shocked. And even Josh Jenkinson, who is another driver that jumped, skipping Formula 3, he finished just behind Kimi in P11, but he started P21. What's your take? Because this is, I've been quite negative, and I do apologize about them skipping, but like, there's so much hype around them, and especially more Kimi because of the empty Mercedes seat the next season. But I was expecting a lot more. And then you also had Ollie Bearman down as well. He didn't get any points this race weekend as well. Tom, what do you think? Because I'm quite shocked, but at the same time, not.
I think there's been a lot of pressure put on Kimi Antonelli's head. And it's sort of like, it's not a great start. And I think for someone who is definitely being hyped up, and like you said, being hyped up for, you know, these, you know, almost coveted, you could say, Mercedes seat, because, you know, whilst Mercedes right this second might not be the sort of, you know, the absolute, you know, like best of the best on, you know, on the field, you know, they are still one of the most successful teams in history. And, you know, it's enormous boost to fill, obviously, you know, with, you know, Hamilton leaving that team. It'll be after what, to 11 years, I think. And, you know, he's come straight into Formula 2. He's come into what is one of the top teams, Prema. Prema do need to sort of figure their proverbial out a bit, you know, because they've not looked great at the season start. And, you know, they've been sort of like outclassed, outshone by other teams. Now, Prema's one of those teams that you usually expect to see at the top of the grid. And it's not a good start for them. We've talked a lot in the past about drivers who skipped F3 and come up to F2. And I'm not saying drivers can't do it, far from it. But what we've talked about in the past, I'm just going to sort of like reiterate what I've said in the past, is that there's a reason that F3 is there. Because when you move out of something like Formula, you know, like, well, I don't even know, you know, like F4 or Freckle or something like that, and you move into F3, that's where you really start, you know, getting the sort of like these sort of like additional aero effects, and, you know, the increased speed, more power, all that kind of thing with these single seaters. Because F3 and especially F2 really is the pathway to F1. Now, obviously, not everybody makes it. Some people go off into Formula E, they might go off into IndyCar, you know, Indy next, you know, they might go off into, you know, some form of sports cars, you know, something in WEC, or, you know, a hybrid GT, anything. Yeah, obviously, you know, people can go all different ways, or they can go out of driving altogether. You know, it depends on all sorts of things. But there's a reason that F3 is there, and I just really hope that, especially with the sort of like hype that's around Antonelli at the minute. I said in the F2 preview show with Aaron that I think Antonelli will win the championship. That's not looking great at the minute, I'll give you that much. That's not a win for you, though. Not yet, anyway. But, you know, it's... I think the other thing to remember is this is only his first race in these cars. You know, so let's not jump to conclusions or sort of like say that, you know, the proverbial house is on fire just yet, because it's going to take him a couple of, you know, a couple of sort of weekends and practice sessions, all the rest of it, to sort of get bedded into the car. Mind you, Jeddah up next, that's not exactly the best sort of like, you know, here you go option, is it? Because that's, you know, that's one heck of a street circuit. So, yeah, the other thing with Kimi is the noise about not going to F3, coming to F2, none of that is coming from his camp. It's all coming from media, the likes of us, you know, how dare we? You know, it's coming from, you know, people like us, you know, princesses, you know, who were for, you know, people like us who were, you know, not speculating, but certainly it is a talking point. And, you know, we are making it, and, you know, it's a valid talking point. So that's my 2 cents on it anyway.
Yeah. I mean, as well, Formula 2 cars are actually the next gen as well. So these are new for a lot, all the drivers on the grid as well. So that's also a big change, because if you look at the F2 cars, how the rear wing is set up, how the chassis is kind of set with the car as well, it's all new to some of the drivers. And they even said in press conferences as well, how different compared to F2 last year, these cars. So can only imagine moving from Freca, Formula Regional Oceania, to Italian F4, which is all the ones that Kimi raced in last year, to then move into a whole new kind of style of a kind of car, even though in the same kind of progression. Again, I think it was too soon to do, but it is what it is. But I mean, looking at predictions, because I'm proud of this one, because this one I think is a lot better. I got my predictions in. Tom didn't. I said Victor Martins on pole, almost had it. Very similar to Fornaroli. He was leading up until the last push lap. In the sprint race, we don't talk about it, but I said Isaac Hadjar P1, Kimi Antonelli P2, Dennis Hauger P3. But for the feature, I got the first two just backwards. I said Jack Crawford was going to convert his pole to a win, and then Zay Maloney was going to finish P2. But obviously that finished the other way around. And then I said Victor Martins in P3. So I think that one's a better win if to read it out. Because I got two podium rights on the same race, just backwards. But we'll have predictions for F1 Academy. I've done mine in the F1 Academy episode. I'll bring Tom into that one when we review Jeddah for F1 Academy. And also, why don't we start the... Well, actually, let's look at Jeddah before we make our predictions for the season for the race weekend. But once again, as mentioned, due to Ramadan starting on Sunday, it means that free practice and qualifying is taking place on Thursday. Sprint race will take place Friday midday if you're in the UK. And on Saturday, the feature race mid-morning. The current track record is held by the former F2 champion of Felipe Drugovic back in 2022. Last year, Victor Martins was able to take pole with Jack Crawford on the reverse pole. In the sprint race, Owasa was able to take P1, followed by Martins in P2, and Jehan Daruvala in P3. In the feature race, Fred Vesti was able to take P1, followed by Jack Doohan and Jehan again for P3. So, at least we know for the feature race this weekend, we won't have any returning to the podium. And that might be the case as well for... the sprint, because it's only Martins returning to the grid this season. Tom, I'm going to start with you, and I'm going to make sure I record this as well. What is your pole, podiums, and let's go back to our bold predictions as well for Jeddah for F2.
Oh, I'm going to say pole is going to be Victor Martins. You know, he's still around here before. You know, he's showing good pace. Are we doing both podiums? Okay. The sprint race podium, I'm going to say Isaac Hadjar. I think Gabby Bortoletto might get on the sprint podium. Well, either podium, but I'm going to say sprint podium. Zach O'Sullivan. Quietly confident about Zach O'Sullivan. Couldn't tell you why. And then the feature race, I'm going to say Victor Martins is going to win. I'm going to say, you like me if there's some Zay Maloney P2. You know, he's going to carry on that good form. He very much sort of like, you know, started the year with a bang. And I'm going to say Franco Colapinto of MP Motorsport P3. And then my bold prediction is in one of the races, we won't get any retirements, or we won't get any crashes to lead to a retirement. Mechanical faults don't count, but we won't have any crashes or incidents that lead to a DNF.
We had that last year's or one of our predictions as well for Jeddah, and then it just went.
It went a bit south. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. I made the notes of it because we're actually tracking it this season for Formula Talk of all the predictions so that we can find out at the end of the season who actually made the right calls. It's going to be me. Let's be honest. Okay. I mean, I think my poll. It's hard because some of these rookies have actually not been to Jeddah really properly before. So it's going to be interesting to see. I think Victor Martins. No, because she said Victor Martins. I say Zane's going to take pole. I think in the sprint race, I think Pepe Marti is going to take the win. Richard for sure, P2.
Okay.
then let's go for the Pouty P3. I'm going very wild these first couple rounds of the season. In the feature race, Zane's going to take the win. He's going to convert pole to the win. I think Chris Meine will get P2. I think it'll be quite nice given the disqualification last weekend. And then rounding out the podium, Isaac Hadjar P3. My bold is can't even do rookies getting points because five of them already have points this season already. So that's one maybe towards the end of the season to say who's going to get points. I don't want to single anyone out for no DNF, but I think there will be 4 5-second time penalties in either of the races.
Okay. That's oddly specific, but cool. You've locked it in.
Yeah, 4 5-second time penalties. For any reason, it won't be track limits because obviously track limits you're in the wall. But
yeah, I was going to say, yeah.
I think it could be because of infringements of starting grids, which does happen, or a crash or accident, I think, which obviously defeats your bold prediction. But I'm saying 4 5-second time penalties. We'll see. I don't know, but hopefully one of us might be right. Me. But I'm going to say this every time. It's season 2 of Formula Talk. I want to take the win because looking back at the predictions last season, yikes on my part. So especially some of those bold predictions. So I want to redeem myself in this season. But yeah, I've been really excited for Jeddah. It's quite a cool track. Obviously, it's really fast. It's got sharp corners. We don't know how the rookies are going to be because they've never been on that track. Obviously, some of them might have watched. Obviously, a lot of them have done sim racing, probably in it to prep for it. So I'm really excited for it. And that starts on Thursday. Fun. I'm personally in the office both Thursday and Friday, so I'm not going to be able to do what I did this week, of trying to watch it while I'm doing work. Quotation marks, it's fine. I mean, it's my busy season right now for my job. But yeah, I'm really excited. I wish Formula 3 was going to be in Jeddah, but I don't see it's possible with how many drivers on the grid and how many rookies as well. Chaotic rookies.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is it for our episode reviewing Bahrain and previewing F2 Jeddah. Formula Talk Season 2 is available on YouTube where episodes are posted after recording. We've recorded this today, March 5th. At like 7 p.m. in the UK time. You can find us on YouTube. Just search Formula Talk for our 2024 season episodes. If you've been a listener to our show from previous weeks or months, you may know that we are the sister show of Grid Talk. You can find our back catalog of episodes on YouTube under the Grid Talk channel. But you can also find us on Amazon via Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Apple Music, Verbal, and Pocket Cast. Just search Grid Talk to find our episodes. Please consider supporting the channel on Patreon so we can get mics, lights, and better recording equipment. And then make sure you are following us on social media via YouTube subscription or Instagram to know when each new episode is released. We'll be back soon. Also, make sure you listen to F1 Academy's episode that is also dropping this week, the driver lineup and the preview, and my hot takes of what I'm looking forward to this season. We'll be back soon to review Jeddah, both for Formula 2 and F1 Academy. And thank you very much for listening. Thank you, Tom, for joining me as always.
My pleasure, Soph.
And thank you for listening to Formula Talk, presented by Bet Online. Goodbye.